Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC in New York.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Brazilian soccer fans didn't have much to cheer about this past week, but Brazilian music fans, you have something to look forward to. Bebel Gilberto, a member of one of Brazil's most famous musical families, has a new album coming next month, and she's here with her band to give us a live preview. And we'll continue our look back at the summer of 94. The rapper Nas joins us to look back at his masterpiece, the album Illmatic, which turns 20 this year. And the battling co-hosts of the Movie Date podcast look back at the best-selling soundtrack to that summer's hit movie, Forrest Gump. But first, a few of your calls, which take us to some unexpected musical places.
Hello, this is Ian from Ann Arbor, Michigan. In the summer of 1994, I was in between high school and my first year of college, and I was picking up the threads of kind of electronic ambient music, listening to Aphex Twin. I have a more contemplative style than some of the that was popular at the time.
I'm Jenny from Brooklyn. So in the summer of 94, I just moved to Provincetown, Mass with my girlfriend, and we promptly broke up, which wasn't the summer that I planned. So some of the music with which I consoled myself was Elliott Smith, The Breeders, Arrested Development, Liz Phair, Angelique Kidjo, Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, Arvo Pärt, and Brahms.
All surprised to hear Brahms at the end of Jenny's list there, but hey, if you're looking for consoling music, this bit from Brahms's German Requiem will do nicely. And I'd forgotten that Aphex Twin record came out in 94. Can't believe it's 20 years old. Thanks for the reminder, Ian. Okay, let's move on with our look back at the major musical moments of 20 years ago. Now, 1994 was the year that the movie Forrest Gump premiered, and it brought along with it a soundtrack that has over 35 songs, not even the full number from the film. I mean, this movie was full of classic tracks, and today we're talking with Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman from the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. They're going to tell us about their favorite songs from the Forrest Gump soundtrack and also maybe tell us where the score gets it wrong. Kristen, Rafer, good to see you guys again.
Hi,
you too, John. So who can give me a quick outline of this movie, this Tom Hanks vehicle?
So this is the story of Forrest Gump, a simple man, a simple American living in Alabama. Looks like he has low expectations. He's not somebody who's especially smart. He's not somebody who has a lot going for him. He's being raised by a single mom. And yet he's able to affect change in all sorts of American history, American life, everything from the Vietnam War to teaching Elvis Presley how to dance. Also great moments in shrimping, as we know, with Bubba Gump, and ping pong, and really just changing the course of America. But he's just like us. He's not an everyman. He's an every American.
Wow.
Yes, he is.
Kristen likes this movie.
She
I get
sure
that
does.
Feeling.
She sure does. It's very Bill O'Reilly speech there from Kristen Meinzer.
Rafer, music really is a driving force in this film, isn't it?
Yes. It's directed by Robert Zemeckis, and he is a guy who loves his soundtracks. I don't know if you remember Flight, which came out not too long ago with Denzel Washington.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also had a terrific, terrific classic rock soundtrack. You know, he knows how to pick them. I mean, like you said, it's 35 songs, and, you know, they're all gems.
So what he does is, at various points during the film, there are these musical montages that happen. And there's a big one when Forrest Gump is in Vietnam. And you've both picked a few parts of that sequence, which runs about 9 minutes and includes like seven different songs over the course of that span. Kristen, what did you like in this sequence?
What I like is it's exactly what you expect, which is kind of what the whole movie is. This isn't a movie that's full of surprises. It's a movie that's mostly full of joys, expected joys. It's kind of like watching your favorite Folgers Christmas commercial. You're not watching it because you want to be slapped around or shocked at any moment. You just want to be reassured, and life is beautiful, and it's great. Even awful things like Vietnam are punctuated by exactly what you expect. And, of course, when you're landing in that chopper for the first time over the rice fields in Vietnam, the first thing you're going to hear is Fortunate Son by CCR.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag, cool their red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, ooh, they point the cannon at you. Now, it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no Senator Song. It ain't me.
Now, they told us that Vietnam was going to be very different from the United States of America. Except for all the beer cans and the barbecue, it was.
A little bit of the movie Forrest Gump, and just within less than 2 minutes, you hear Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. I Can't Help Myself, Aretha Franklin's Respect. I mean, all of these classic tracks woven into this film. Kristen liked that part of the montage. Rafer, you picked All Along the Watchtower from the same sequence, but you seem not to be as sanguine about how well it works here.
I got to see a lot of the countryside. We would take these real long walks.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief.
And we were always looking for this guy named Charlie.
All Along the Watchtower is a good example. I just feel like if you've got a Vietnam movie and you've got soldiers walking slowly through a rice paddy with palm trees in the background, you got to have some psychedelic rock. You know, in Apocalypse Now, it was The Doors. This is the end. In Platoon, it was Jefferson Airplane and White Rabbit. And here it's Jimi Hendrix, you know, All Along the Watchtower. Plus, you know, it's a Dylan cover, so you've got sort of a two-for-one boomer special.
But as Kristen was saying, you know, you don't come to this movie looking for surprises. You want the kind of comfort of having your expectations met.
I guess that's true. And I guess that's one reason why people liked this movie, although at the same time it was a very polarizing film at the time and really one of the most polarizing films still, I think. Critics were very, very split on whether this was a warm, heartwarming tale about an American or whether it was a really shallow reading of an extremely turbulent and complicated decade. And I'm with the latter camp myself.
What I remember most about this movie is the whole hullabaloo about the special effects, you know, how
yes.
they got Tom Hanks to be in the shot with, LBJ.
John Lennon.
Right. And then, you know, Gary Sinise's legs when he loses his legs and how realistic that looked. So the special effects in the film, whether you like the movie or not, were certainly impressive, Rafer. You have to give it that.
They were, although I was surprised even at the time, and I was much younger then, but I was surprised that nobody bothered to relate it to Zelig, the Woody Allen film, which had done exactly the same thing more than 10 years earlier, and which I also thought was much funnier and much cleverer. But it was the exact same scene. And I will say, if you watch the movie again, some of those special effects with him being woven into history and some of the news newscasts don't look quite as smooth as you remember.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but, you know, it's kind of like those old Thomas Edison, you know, where he'd have the live singer in the auditorium behind the curtain, and then he would play his, like, Edison cylinders, and people couldn't tell the difference. Right. It was amazing.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
So, you know, I mean, it's easy to fool us when our senses haven't caught up to the technology yet. Sounds like that's what you're saying.
True.
All right, so Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman from the Takeaways Movie Date podcast are here on Soundcheck. We're talking about the summer of 94 again, and this time specifically the Forrest Gump soundtrack. Kristen, there's just so much classic rock here, and it's there for a reason, both to set the time, and it also kind of comments on some of the stuff that Forrest is doing in
the
film.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we have all of these moments where the songs actually say in the lyrics what's happening on screen. And Rafer's laughing because he thinks all of this is schlock. And I do want to throw you a bone, Rafer. A lot of this is schlock. It's not supposed to be high art. The fact that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences awarded it the Oscar for Best Picture, I know, is very divisive for a lot of people. The fact that it's being re-released in IMAX for America because we love this movie, I know you don't care about that. But I will give it to you. It's not a perfect film. It's a comfort film. And it's the kind of movie that when it's on TBS showing back-to-back three times in a row, you're just kind of happy that it's on and you're going to watch it again and again.
So, Soundcheck listeners, you just heard Kristen smack Rafer down twice, once across each cheek, and then say, I give it to you. You know, I'll grant you. It's just, you're absolutely right. Well done, Kristen. A lesson in passive aggression right here on Soundcheck.
I am Minnesotan.
Running on Empty by Jackson Browne is another part of the Forrest Gump soundtrack. This does get pretty close to the kind of Mickey Mousing, you know, where the music is just like kind of slavishly following what happens on the film.
Absolutely. And in this running scene, this is where Jenny, has broken Forrest's heart. She had a one-night stand and she runs out in the morning before he can even wake up. And he doesn't know what to do. He just starts running. He runs until he gets to one ocean. When he gets there, he turns around and runs to another ocean. And then he just keeps running and running for years. People are chasing him. And, of course, every single song you can imagine that has the word running in it is in this sequence, which I am totally fine with. And now I really associate some of those songs with this movie. The other day I was in the car and the song Running on Empty came on, and I actually did not think about Jackson Browne. I thought about Forrest Gump. And the scene's perfect. It's not just about running. It's about America again. We see all the great landscapes of America. We see even when you're running away, you're running into our great nation, and our great nation is embracing us.
On Empty. Kristen, you may think of Forrest Gump and not Jackson Browne when you hear that on the radio, but Jackson Brown's the one getting the checks. So. Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman are with us on Soundcheck. They host the Takeaways Movie Date podcast, and as part of our Summer of 94 series, we're talking about the hit soundtrack from the big hit movie called Forrest Gump. Now, Rafer, we asked you for another song that you liked, but you didn't have any more that you liked.
It's kind of true.
Only songs that you think show how the movie and this music was an epic fail. So give me an example of that.
Well, I mean, you know, Kristen's already pointed out Running on Empty during the scene where he's running. You could also choose something.
And he's running on empty, too.
And he is running on empty, that's right. You know, you could choose The Doors' Love Her Madly. You know, Don't You Love Her When She's Walking Out the Door, which plays while Jenny is walking out a door. You know, but I think one of the songs that really speaks to the way this movie oversimplifies everything to me is Sweet Home Alabama, which is played when Jenny and Forrest are back home in Alabama. And I just feel like That's a really complicated, contentious song with a really complicated backstory, a lot of really muddled and difficult messages about race and the South. And it just becomes this kind of feel-good, warm embrace, which I know Kristen loves about this movie. But I just feel like it's such a shallow treatment of that song.
But in defense of its shallow treatment in the film, isn't that how most of us treat the song? I mean, it became a huge hit, not because people were trying to parse all the layers of meaning of it, but because it had a good hook and it had a fun sing-along chorus.
Fair enough, and I think that may also be what bugs me about the Forrest Gump movie, is that maybe what bugs me is that it is kind of an accurate representation of the way most people just kind of stumbled through the 60s, listened to the rock music and wearing their hair long, and then when it was all done, they kind of look back at it like a big scrapbook and say, gosh, wasn't that great? And that's kind of what Forrest Gump does.
So Forrest and Jenny are living at home in Alabama to the sounds of Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, I hope Neil Young will remember. I said a man don't need him around anyhow. Sweet Home Alabama, where the skies are blue. Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama from Lynyrd Skynyrd, used in the soundtrack to the 1994 film Forrest Gump. And as we look back at the summer of 94, lots of people were not listening to the music of the summer of 94. They were listening to music from the 60s and the 70s through this Forrest Gump soundtrack. Kristen Meinzer, Rafer Guzman of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. As usual, they are here arguing bitterly over the respective merits of the film and its soundtrack. Actually, Rafer, although you clearly dislike the film, the soundtrack, I mean, there's nothing wrong with these songs, is there?
I mean, if you're just talking about, you know, this soundtrack as a compilation, it's unstoppable. It's, you know, it's everything. I'm going to tip my hat to Jay Cowett, who's a producer at The Takeaway, and his summation of the soundtrack was that it's basically the now is music, this is music compilation from, you know, from like maybe 56 to about 76. So yeah, I mean, it's full of gems, you know, from Fortunate Son to California Dreamin', the Buffalo Springfield song, for what it's worth. It's, you know, it is the soundtrack of the boomers' lives.
Right. I remember when the Jefferson Airplane song Volunteers comes into the movie, I was just like, oh my God, this soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody's Talkin' is in this soundtrack, and it's unusual simply because it's from another soundtrack.
It's the theme song to an entirely different movie. Yeah.
So does this work for you, Rafer?
I think it's another way of cutesifying everything in this film, you know. To set the scene, it's when Forrest Gump is pushing Lieutenant Dan, who has lost his legs. Mm-hmm. They're crossing a New York street. A taxi cab almost runs into them, and Lieutenant Dan bangs on the hood of the car and says, "Hey, I'm walking here," which is a replication of the scene from Midnight Cowboy with Dustin Hoffman. And they're playing the song. Everybody's Talking. But it's just another simple pop culture reference that doesn't have anything to do with a movie about a male prostitute living in New York City, as Midnight Cowboy was. It just seems a little random and a little meaningless to me.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping, staring. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes.
So Harry Nilsson's song, Everybody's Talking, from Midnight Cowboy, repurposed for the Forrest Gump soundtrack. Kristen Rafer found that the use of that song, and I'll quote him here, random and meaningless.
I absolutely do not think it's random and meaningless. It's actually recreating a similar scene. It's tipping the hat to another movie that's actually from that era. And the argument that a song that's from another movie and known for that can never be used again, does that mean we can never hear the song Help anywhere else other than the movie Help? Are we never supposed to hear Mrs. Robinson again except in The Graduate?
That's in this movie too.
Exactly. And Check and Mate. Yes, Kristen Meinzer for the win.
Really? I thought that was actually a pretty good comeback from Rafer.
Me too.
All right, guys. This soundtrack reached number 2 on the Billboard charts in the summer of 94. The movie, as Kristen has not so gently reminded us, did win an Oscar. So, you know, however divisive it might have been with the critics, the public spoke pretty loudly and clearly about this film. How does the soundtrack stand up 20 years later?
I think it stands up really well, and I was just thinking about this while listening to that Nilsson song. All these songs are from the last great era of real songwriting. I feel like music now, especially these days, is more about the beat and the loop, which can be very effective and sounds good and modern, but you don't hear those kind of song structures.
Are you saying they don't write them like this
anymore?
I
am. God help me, I am.
Goodness,
but it's
Rafer.
True. You know, look, you
You're
know, verse,
aging
chorus, bridge.
As you speak.
That's true. That's true.
In my day.
I know. You're right. But I do think that's one of the reasons why the soundtrack still sounds so good.
Kristen?
I think the soundtrack is fantastic. It's like, what's not to love about the soundtrack? It's everything that's great about the Big Chill soundtrack. It's everything that's great about the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, minus Patrick Swayze singing. So for some people, that's going to be even better than the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. It's got all the songs you want. When you are up at 3 a.m. and the Time Life ad comes on and you want to hear every great song on all 12, you know, cassettes or 8 tracks, this is what you want. I want this. I think everybody loved it in America for a reason.
Well, people wanted it. It was number 2 in August of 1994. And 20 years later, Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast have been here on Soundcheck helping us pick through the soundtrack to the film Forrest Gump. Kristen, Rafer, great to see you guys again.
Thanks, John.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel. The song so nice, Hollywood used it twice. First in The Graduate, of course, and then again in Forrest Gump. Tell us what you were doing during the summer of 94 and what you were listening to. Post a comment on soundcheck.org or call us at 866-939-1612. That's 866-939-1612. We may use your voicemail on the air. Take Soundcheck with you wherever you go with the all-new WNYC mobile app. Download it for free from wnyc.org/mobile.